Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I have lost all faith in you people. Some of you are actually suggesting that mayonnaise on pizza is a good idea. No, no, no. And you don't know me at all. What is the number one condiment that I refuse to eat? If you listen to Ask Amy Anything or if you pay any attention to the show, you know that I abhor mayonnaise. And here you are expecting me to try mayonnaise on my pizza. What is wrong with you? I've lost all faith in you. It's National Pizza Week. Around the world, over 5 billion pizzas are sold each year. We're approaching Super Bowl Sunday, which is the heaviest day on the entire calendar for pizza traffic. Pizza traffic. I like that term. How do you take your pies? You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're going to get to some of the big football news, as well as, I mean, you're blowing it up on our social media with your pizza responses. Mayonnaise. And so we'll get back to that. Plus your calls, 855-212-4227. And we need your questions for Ask Amy Anything. So it's a busy night, a busy hump show here on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house a home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Scott Miller, National Baseball Insider from Bleacher Report and Sirius XM MLB Network Radio, has agreed to join us from San Diego and spend a little extra time trying to flesh out what these last 2 days mean for Major League Baseball. So, Scott, we're pleased to have you. Thank you so much. I'll just start with the overall reaction. As we see the commissioner drop the hammer, as the Astros then take matters into their own hands, now the Red Sox, what is your reaction to everything that we've seen and heard the last 2 days?
Yeah, a couple things, Amy. One, starting with yesterday and the Houston Astros, you know, I figured, like a lot of people, they'd get hit with a very large fine. I figured draft picks would get taken away. The big question was going to be the suspensions, whether there'd be suspensions. And if so, you know, would it be just general manager Jeff Luhnow? Would it be manager A.J. Hinch as well? And how long? The fact that both got suspended for the entire season, that, I think, grabbed everybody's attention, both inside the game and outside the game. I don't think anybody was expecting that. And then, of course, Houston owner Jim Crane immediately fired both Luhnow and Hinch. And, yeah, that signaled that, you know, that this thing is going to explode. And, you know, at the end of the day, barely 24 hours later, I think the takeaway from Boston – basically firing, they could say they and Alex Cora mutually agreed to part ways. I think given how MLB in the report, in the investigation, fingered Alex Cora as being one of the brains, masterminds behind the Houston situation, that it wasn't mutual. Alex Cora, as soon as that report came out yesterday, he was not going to manage the Boston Red Sox this year. And the fact that they fired him before even the MLB discipline for Boston came down, I think is telling. I think Alex Cora is going to be suspended for a very, very long time whenever MLB announces it. I would not be surprised if it even was a lifetime ban.
And we'll wait to see from Major League Baseball. But as you point out, he was the guy who was named over and over in the commissioner's memo,
yeah,
as was Carlos Beltran, Scott. So what what do you expect, if anything, as a reaction from the Mets, who just hired him?
I don't see how they can go forward with Beltran as their manager. Here's the thing, Amy. Manfred made clear that he always was going to discipline those in charge of or charged with responsibility, leadership roles, like the GM, the manager, Luhnow and Hinch in Houston. He made it clear he wasn't looking to nail players. He wanted those in charge. Now, part of that came through that, you know, the players they interviewed, they essentially gave immunity, you know, and they said, look, tell us everything you know. There will be no repercussions. So players told baseball what they knew. Beltran, the interesting thing, Amy, is when the Mets hired him last fall, this Astro scandal was just bubbling. And Beltran told the New York media he did not have anything to do, basically, with a scandal. He said, yeah, you know, old school sign stealing. You know, it's fun to get to the park early and work on it. Try to see if you can't, you know, use your eyes to break down the opposition's codes. But he said in terms of, you know, center field camera and digital video cheating, I don't know anything about it. Well, the report that came out this week says otherwise, says Beltran was one of the ringleaders, right, and that he knew about it. So here's the thing. Baseball's not looking to nail players. And Beltran at the time was a player. Okay, I get that. But once he crosses the divide into a leadership role, I don't know how you can take away the privilege that Alex Cora and A.J. Hinch had as managing a Major League Baseball team, and yet extend that same privilege to Carlos Beltran, who has been identified by MLB as one of the ringleaders of the Astros thing. I know he was a player at the time, but we're talking now a leadership role, and, right, and why should he have that privilege?
Scott Miller is a national baseball columnist for Bleacher Report and also part of MLB Network on SiriusXM. And I want to go back to what you just said about baseball not looking to nail the players in this situation, but why not? I keep hearing that question over and over. If the players were largely responsible for this elaborate sign-stealing system, why aren't the players being held responsible for it?
Well, it does seem hypocritical because even in MLB's investigative report, it says flat out that some of the players said they knew what they were doing was wrong, but they would have stopped if the manager, A.J. Hinch, had stepped in and told them, no, you shouldn't do that. That seems to me to be a cop-out because the same report says, while A.J. Hinch didn't organize any of it, it does say he disapproved of it to the point where twice he apparently took a baseball bat to the monitor, the video monitor that was just off the dugout and broke it, and the Astros had to go out and replace it. Twice that happened. So the players, for them to say, well, if a manager, we didn't think it was right, but we would have stopped if the manager said, no. I mean, what else did he have to do? He smashed the TV. So that's one thing. And then from there, you go down the road. I think, to me, baseball didn't want to discipline the players because I think that, among other things, they wanted to try to wrap this up. They wanted to come down hard on those in position of leadership and wrap it up before the 2020 season as best they could. And if you suspend and discipline players, you know what happens. The players' union immediately is going to file grievances, and there's going to be hearings, and it's going to drag on for months and months and months. And I think, you know, in a way, not nailing the players is a cop-out.
Mm. The World Series titles still stand. 2017 for the yep. Astros, 2018 for the Red Sox. All of the records, all of the wins, all of that is still credited to the franchises. And so does this really hit the Astros where it hurts? Will it hit the Red Sox where it hurts? Or should more be done, Scott?
You know, I think it hits them about as badly as it can. I'm not in favor of going back and wiping out, you know, history. I mean, a couple things. One, you know, I know the NCAA vacates football and basketball titles, but yeah, I mean, I get it, but I think it's too little too late. you know, take the NCAA basketball tournament. Was it 2013? I think it was. You know, I'm based out west. I grew up in the great state of Michigan. I was rooting for Michigan to beat Louisville. Louisville won. Then they vacate the title because of the whole Rick Pitino scandal. By the time they do that, I mean, like what? Everybody knows Michigan lost. What are they supposed to say? Well, Michigan is the champion now. And it's kind of that way, I think, with you know, I mean, what? So take away the Astros 17 title. I mean, the Dodgers haven't won since 1988. You know, we're talking 3 decades the Dodgers haven't won a World Series title. So what, all of a sudden you're supposed to retroactively say, no, the Dodgers are the champs. So,
no.
Yeah, so... Yeah, the other thing, I think it will hurt the Astros. I mean, a large fine. I think the draft picks are going to hurt more than people think. Also, I think the shame and the taint of this is going to carry forward. I mean, every time they, I mean, this whole season, everywhere the Astros go, you know, they play games in Yankee Stadium. How do you think they're going to be received? You know, how do you think they're going to be received in Oakland? And it's going to be one long season long tour of shame and ridicule for the Astros. And you know, the organization, even if you don't remove their World Series title in 2017, history is going to record it as being tainted, same as history records Barry Bonds' all-time home run record is tainted. I mean, there are a lot of people that look at the home run record and say, there's Barry Bonds at the top of the record book, but Hank Aaron's the guy. Mm. And I think you're going to see some of that historically with the Astros.
Scott, I've heard from at least one general manager of another team that he's, and I'll use the exact word, pissed, because of how things might have gone differently had this not been happening with the Astros specifically for a year plus. Do you think, because of the anger of other teams and other franchises, that Alex Cora and A.J. Hinch and potentially Carlos Beltran, though right now he's still with the Mets, but do you think those guys will be employable again once their bans are over?
I'll tell you what, if we go one by one, Alex Cora, I doubt it. And I, as I mentioned a little bit ago, Amy, let's see what MLB rules on him. And remember, the Red Sox have fired him, but we haven't heard from MLB yet.
Right.
It's going to be a really long suspension. It's going to be more than A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow's year. And like I say, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a lifetime ban. I think it's going to be a long time. So I don't think Alex Cora is going to be employable. Jeff Luhnow has a lot of enemies in the game. He's mistreated a lot of people. Even his so-called, his statement yesterday was a weasel statement. I mean, he's like, I'm not a cheater, and then I didn't know anything about this. It must have been the lower level employees, you know, that have come up with this, and I wish I would have been aware of it because I would have stopped it. If anybody believes that, you know, they're the most naive people around. I mean, Luhnow, again, being in a position of leadership, he's shown zero accountability, same as he did or did not in the World Series when they ended up firing his assistant, Taubman,
right,
for screaming at those female reporters in the clubhouse about, oh, I'm glad we got Osuna, and screaming expletives. I mean, the Astros have had a bad culture, and it started with Luhnow. So I don't think he's ever going to get another general manager job again, and I'd be surprised if he works in baseball again. A.J. Hinch, maybe. He's well-liked in the game. He's very well-respected. He's viewed as a very good manager. And he could have and probably should have handled things differently. And I know if he had his do-overs, he probably would handle it differently. But, again, you know, he showed some disapproval with what they were doing. So I think he might be playable. One other quick point, you know, let's also remember MLB's role in this, and that is, you know, they instituted, this all came in essentially once baseball went down the road of having instant replay.
Yes.
And it was like 2014, 2015, they instituted instant replay. And the problem was, and what MLB should have figured out, but they didn't, they should have anticipated whatever the unintended consequences were going to be with instant replay. And we're learning now what some of those are, that with a replay, came the replay rooms in the clubhouses, came lots of extra cameras in ballparks, and all kinds of extra video, and access to video in the clubhouse. In the beginning, baseball changed its rules this year. Now all the TVs in the clubhouses are on at least a 7 or 8 second delay. But initially, they're showing live feeds in the clubhouses,
right.
And that's why, you know, the Alex Cora was on the phone in Houston, you know, dugout phone, back to the replay room, getting information in real time. And, you know, baseball, they've got to change a lot of that. And I think, among other things, they should just, as soon as the first pitch is thrown, shut everything down digitally. You know, no iPads in the dugout, no computers in the, you know, players that want to go watch their at-bats in between innings, enough of that. Watch them before the game and after the game.
Scott Miller of Bleacher Report with us here after hours, CBS Sports Radio. Is it still worth it, considering that the Astros won their first World Series and the Red Sox and Alex Cora won a World Series in Boston? Is it worth it, even if they're subjected to what's happening now?
You mean, is it worth it to try to skirt the rules and cheat?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I can see where some people would think that. I think personally that these punishments will discourage it. I'm not saying it's going to wipe the slate clean and that nobody is going to try anything, because just as the case with steroids, we still see guys getting suspended even though it's against the rules. I mean, there's always, especially the way the finances of this game are, the millions and millions of dollars at stake, there's always going to be incentive to cheat. That said, these draconian suspensions and firings, I think that will heavily discourage most people. Not everybody, but I think most people. Because, look, you know, there are only 30 general manager jobs in
right.
the world. There are
right.
only 30 manager jobs in the world. And I think, you know, people are going to think twice about doing this stuff for risk of getting kicked out of the game they love.
Scott, it's always good to talk to you. You can find Scott Miller on Twitter at Scott Miller BBL for Bleacher Report, SiriusXM MLB Network Radio. And he's had a busy couple of days. Scott, thank you so much.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
It's the stiffest penalty that any team has ever taken or given, and we accept that. We're going to move forward in a positive way. I'll let the commissioner determine how he handles the rest of it.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Houston Astros owner Jim Crane, $5 million fine, which is the most that Major League Baseball can impose under its labor agreement. The loss of multiple draft picks, though if the Astros play well the next 2 years, those draft picks could be low first and second round. And then the big blows, the loss of his general manager and his manager, whom he subsequently fired. But Jim Crane himself still reaps all the benefits of the Astros having won a World Series in 2017 and then again putting together three consecutive 100-plus win seasons. There's no way to go back and take away wins or take away a World Series, because we don't know how much it affected the outcome. It's easy to say, to assume, that if the Astros weren't stealing signs, then they don't win. But we don't know that for sure. Really fascinating column that I read from my friend Buster Olney. He's a baseball insider for ESPN, and I used to see him and talk to him all the time at my previous network. I would encourage you, I tweeted the link on Tuesday afternoon. I would encourage you to go and read what he wrote about the victims of this sign-stealing scandal. I have to be careful when I say it, because it could come out the wrong way. He includes victims like Mike Fiers, who I've seen some of you on Twitter calling a snitch. But how might his career have been different or been affected? And think about the number of other athletes who maybe would have won individual awards. Forget the team awards for a second. How about Aaron Judge? Just as an example from Buster's column. He lost the MVP his rookie year to Jose Altuve. What if the Astros weren't stealing signs and Altuve didn't have the same numbers, if we assume they're connected? Maybe Judge wins the MVP in his rookie year. The Dodgers, who haven't won a World Series since 1988. Was it game five when Clayton Kershaw gave up the lead? Was that game five of the World Series? I don't remember exactly which game it was. But the game five was the one that went into like crazy extra innings. But Clayton Kershaw, how could his legacy in the postseason be different if he hadn't given up that lead and he'd been part of a Dodgers World Series title? Did the sign stealing affect him on that massive stage? I mean, there's so many different ways that you can point to ripple effects or wonder if they hadn't been cheating, how might this have turned out differently? And there's no way to go back and figure out. We can't rewrite history.
All rise.
And it's impossible to determine the direct impact. But as I said on the last show, and I'll stand behind, if it wasn't making a difference to the Astros, they would have stopped doing it. If it wasn't giving them an advantage, they wouldn't have continued to find ways to steal signs. They wouldn't have gotten new monitors in the dugout when AJ Hinch smashed the old ones if it didn't matter at all.
Why?
And so please read the Buster Olney column about the victims that the Astros have left in their wake. It's really fascinating. And it provided some, I think, dominoes that could drop in the future, but also looked at how the past might be different. And there's no way to fix that. There's no way to change the impact, even if the Astros did apologize. He also mentioned Justin Verlander, which I thought was interesting. Verlander is a very staunch advocate of doing things the right way. He speaks out about PEDs and talks about cheating and cheaters and how he abhors it. And this was happening on the team that he helped to win a World Series. So does that change his legacy? That his World Series title, right now the only one, came with a team that was clearly cheating? I don't know. Sometimes these questions are only answered over time.
Yes!
But I still say there are a lot of people who probably would cheat to win, even if it meant getting caught later and facing these kind of penalties, because the titles are not going away. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, and how do you like your pizza pies? Some of you have very different ideas about how to eat your pizza. Things I've never thought of before. We'll get to those plus your calls. Thanks so much for tuning into our Hump Show. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I need some pizza. Do you need some pizza? That's the whole idea. It is National Pizza Week. According to whom, I have no idea, but it is. So let's get on board. What do you eat on your pizza? How do you take your pies? You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. And I know we're not supposed to disparage other people for their choices, but some of you are weird. Now, you may think I'm weird because I love pepperoni, but I don't eat pepperoni on pizza if I can avoid it. I don't like it on pizza. My favorite kind of pizza is thin, thin, thin crust. I really enjoy a very light crust, not crispy. I like it almost lightly toasted, if you will. And I do not consider cheese to be a topping, by the way. Cheese is, it's an ingredient of a pizza. You cannot have a pizza without cheese. Don't give me this dairy-free cheese stuff that's not even real cheese.
You cannot be serious!
Exactly. Thank you, John McEnroe. And so, cheese is automatic. If you want to put extra cheese on a pizza, okay. Then we can call it a topping. But cheese and the sauce are automatic. I love hamburger on my pizza. Now, I will eat sausage, but beef, hamburger, to me, is actually tastier. I'm a big fan of hamburg, peppers, onions, mushrooms. To me, that is heavenly. I'll take a loaded vegetable pizza. I've had broccoli on pizza before. It's actually pretty good. Dave just made a funny face at me. But I can also eat a supreme pizza. If you just cover my pizza with every topping you can think of, ooh, banana peppers on pizza, also very good. So my fave would be hamburg or beef, pepper, mushroom, onion. But I'll take a supreme, I'll load it up, I'll do a meat lover's. That was probably not my first choice. But a veggie lover's pizza, awesome. So that's me. I like a busy pizza. Don't give me anything plain. As I told Ryan, who works out in our newsroom, when he told me cheese was his favorite kind of pizza, what? No. I said, the kind of pizza you like really does give us a window into your soul and your personality. And so, hey, he's kind of boring and plain. I don't think he's still out there, actually. 855-212-4227. Really nice guy, though. Just kind of boring and plain, judging by his pizza choices. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4CBS, sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. A lot of you weighing in on Twitter and Facebook. And please, while you're there, send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. We are inside of an hour away. Here is Toby's response on Facebook. Spinach, chicken, bacon, feta, and mozzarella with garlic butter instead of the red sauce on a thin crust. He's the guy who goes into Starbucks and gives them five different things they have to put on that little tag on the side of the cup. Anyone want to Google a garbage pie? What is a garbage pizza pie? Quick, Chris, Google. It's Chris's best friend. You know, every Tuesday when I'm writing my column and doing my research, I constantly use Google to fact check. And I always think of Chris. I'm like, where is Chris? He should be doing all this Googling and not me. Let's see. Alan says bread and butter pickles. At first, I thought he said bread and butter, and I was a little confused. But just like I said banana peppers, he says bread and butter pickles. Okay, I'm trying to be open-minded about this, but pickles on pizza? That is definitely one thing I've never had before. Another Alan says buffalo chicken pizza from Sal's in Derry, New Hampshire. Now, this New Hampshire girl is partial to the Granite State, and I do like buffalo chicken pizza. Have you guys ever had buffalo chicken pizza? Dave is back with us tonight. We're glad he's feeling better. Have you had buffalo
Thank
chicken?
You. That is actually my answer. It's my favorite.
I'm sorry. I stole it.
That's so, okay. That had a close second to sausage and peppers.
Buffalo chicken as in spicy on your pizza?
Yeah.
All right. Now, do you dip it then in blue cheese?
Nope. Not a blue cheese guy.
Oh, ranch?
Nope. Just buffalo chicken.
Please tell me not mayonnaise.
No.
Oh, dear God.
No.
Why does anyone want to ruin
mayonnaise
a pizza with mayonnaise?
Doesn't belong anywhere near food.
Thank
or
you.
Anywhere.
That's one thing that Dave and I share. Chris, what? So we got buffalo chicken answer from Dave. What do you like on your pizza? How do you take your pie?
I like a deep dish, thick crust with sausage.
How can you even taste the rest of the pizza when you have it?
Oh, I love it. Sausage, okay. Pepperoni, meatball, and then a side of...
Meatball?
Oh, yeah. A side of buffalo hot sauce to dip it in.
Wait, tell me that again? You lost me on the thick crust because I feel like that's so filling you can only eat one piece. I like thin crust because I can shovel in three or four pieces.
If I get a corner slice, that could be perfect. You get deep dish, thick crust, meatballs, sausage, pepperoni, and then a side of buffalo hot sauce to dip it in.
Whoa. What are your thoughts on stuffed crust pizza?
Yuck.
Oh, okay. Stuffed with cheese? It's just extra cheese.
Yeah, but the cheese they use for the stuffing inside the crust, it just doesn't work properly. Congeals a little bit.
Ruin my pizza appetite.
I got your garbage pizza, by the way.
Yeah, hold on one second. Dave, stuffed crust, yes or no?
Yeah, but they got to do it right.
A lot of places mess that up. I feel like sometimes it's not authentic. It's it's a fake way to add cheese to your pizza. And also, is it a true pizza if you stuff the crust? I mean, it's like a Twinkie. You stuff the crust in. Okay, so what's a garbage pie?
All right, so a garbage pizza, according to the Urban Dictionary, which is always a handy, trusted resource, is topped with all of the random leftovers and vegetables left in your kitchen, named for the fact that sometimes it resembles garbage with the mess that's on top.
Oh.
The guy is drunk!
A lot of you think pineapple belongs on pizza.
No.
That should be a poll. We might have to do a National Pizza Week poll. Does your pineapple end up on your pizza?
It's not my favorite, but it's not bad.
No?
It's not bad.
Interesting. What about other fruit? I mean, tomato is technically a fruit, is it not?
What other fruit would you put on a pizza?
I mean, I got someone here that will tell you all about the fruit he puts on his pizza. Hold on. Let me see if I can find the post.
Pizza should not be sweet. That's
no-go.
No,
but sweet and salty. Okay. Okay, mister, I eat one piece of pizza per sitting.
It's like four regular slices if you really think about it.
Billy says, I like pepperoni, sausage, bacon, and mushrooms. Bacon on pizza. How do you guys feel about bacon on pizza?
Bacon's likes to dip his in ranch. Everything.
Is it? Bacon's good on everything?
Bacon on bacon.
That makes no sense. Susan says, I've never met a pizza I didn't like. That's true.
Anchovies, no way.
I don't think I've ever even tried them. I feel like that's more of a punchline, really, for pizza. Thin, Susan says, green peppers and onions, my favorite topping. Let's see. Phil, hand-tossed sourdough crust. That does sound yummy. Barbecue sauce, pepperoni, bacon, and sausage. Okay, here, Randy says, my dad put either peach or apricot jam on a piece of meat lover's pizza from Pizza Hut once. My mom questioned him and he said, yes, I know exactly what I did. But he put jam. He put fruity jam on his pizza. Wow. Huh.
How about no?
Yeah, Kevin says ham and bacon. I mean, he's just giving you a twist on the pig there. But it's essentially the same thing. Jim says meat lovers. And he's listening in Canada. Douglas says, great topic. Of course he would say that. Jeff says Chicago style. Sausage, mushroom, bacon, and ham. Okay, so no veggies for him. Also, what's a pizookie?
Is that the dessert?
I don't
pizza?
Know. Back to Google you go.
Oh, boy.
Pizookie. Huh.
Yes, it is. It is the dessert pizza. So it comes baked into a tray. It has chocolate chip inside a giant, like, cookie shell, and then vanilla ice cream with whipped cream on top.
I mean, okay, it may look like a pizza, but it's just a big cookie, and how can you turn that down? All right, here we go. This is the part that I think will test our fortitude. Perry on Facebook, try this one time. Hellman's mayonnaise. I can't even read the Facebook post. A little bit, not too much. It's great. It's no. What? No. Survey says, exactly, over and over and over again. Eric says, lobster pizza. He says, Angelina's Pizza, Duval Street in Key West, Florida, makes a mean lobster pizza. Ooh, Brian agrees with me about sausage and banana peppers. Boom. How do you take yo pizza, yo? This is fun. I don't make my own pizza, but some of you probably do. My best friend, who makes everything from scratch, she makes her own pizza dough. And, of course, she always has some in the freezer ready to go whenever her kids want pizza. Chris on Twitter, A-Law Radio, banana peppers, pepperoni, black olives. Oh, yes! When you get a veggie pizza or a supreme pizza, the black olives are killer. Black olives, feta cheese, and mushrooms. I'm so happy that all of you, or many of you, like mushrooms on your pizza. I do too. My younger niece, she despises mushrooms, and I don't think we're related. I think she must have fallen off the turnip truck. Tammy says hamburger, onion, and bell pepper on a hand-tossed crust. I absolutely, absolutely think this is the best topic we've ever done. Forget cheating in Major League Baseball. That has got nothing on pizza. What do you think? Should I write my CBS Sports Minute about National Pizza Week? Also, why don't we have pizza? Why didn't I think ahead that during National Pizza Week, we should have pizza? Maybe I'll bring one tomorrow because we have this mom and pop shop that's been in my town 30 years. It is to die for. Except you guys would be useless after that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.